Would you like to have the inside scoop on how to get miracles to occur in your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Do you have anything difficult in your life? Something that's facing you right now that is just too difficult for you? I want to tell you, it's not too difficult for him. It may be impossible for you. It's not impossible for him. And the Lord is here. The God of might and miracle is here. And he wants to do a miracle in your life today.
He can heal every scar with real truth, real love, real hope from his heart.
We all know that God is everywhere, but sometimes it may feel like the last place he'd rather be is with me and you and our, in the big picture scheme of things, piddly problems. But that's just not the case. Our God always stands waiting to help his children when they reach out to him in faith. This is From His Heart, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Jeff Shreve. Every day we open God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from his heart. If you feel like your hope is lost, the reality is there's not a one of us who doesn't have problems. Job 14:1 says that man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of trouble. And we can all give witness to that, but of all the types of problems there are in life, there are none that Jesus can't conquer. One of the greatest illustrations of this is found in the miracle that Jesus performed, recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 8. Turn there now if you can, as Pastor Jeff continues this series, A New Lease on Life, and the message that will show you how to have the miracle you're looking for. The lesson is entitled, The God of Miracles.
Luke chapter 8, we're going to talk about a wonderful miracle that the Lord did. It's actually a miracle within a miracle. Jesus did so many miracles, they just started to pile on one after the other. But it's a great story to show you that the Lord can do anything in your life. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And as Jesus returned, he had been to the land of the Gerasenes. He had healed the man, cast out the demons, the man that had 2,000 demons, the legion of demons. And he came back. He's there in Galilee. And as he returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to entreat him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes were pressing against him. The word for pressing is the word that means to choke. They were literally choking him. There were so many in the crowd. In verse 43, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, who is the one who touched me? And while they were all denying it, Peter said, Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing upon you. Hey, who didn't touch you? But Jesus said to him, someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. And when this woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. This is such a great story, such an encouraging story, such a faith-building story. I want you to notice with me two discoveries in this story, simple discoveries that if you tap into them, they'll change your life. Discovery number one, very simple, everyone encounters problems in life. Everyone encounters problems in life. There's not a person in this room, not a person watching on television, listening on radio that doesn't have a problem in their life. Now, this woman is kind of a picture of problems. As we look at her life, you can see your problems in her. She's just a picture. She's exhibit A of all of us because we all struggle with problems. First of all, she had a long-term problem. And sometimes the problems that we face are long-term. Now, she had a disease that caused her to bleed for 12 years. I think it's interesting in this story that Jairus, a synagogue official, comes to Jesus and says, please, my daughter is dying. Please come with me to my house and heal my daughter. And the daughter is 12 years old. And then here comes this no-name woman. She's had a disease as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive. 12 years. Can you imagine having a problem like she had for 12 years? Sometimes it's a physically debilitating problem. That was her problem. It was a physically debilitating problem. She was losing blood day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for 12 years. Can you imagine? They don't have blood transfusions back then. She's going to be weak. She's going to be sick. And she's going to be so tired of being weak and sick and tired. Her problem was a shameful problem. Look what the scripture says in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 25. Now, if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge, she shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity, she is unclean. That's what this woman had. And see, in the Old Testament law, when you were in your menstrual impurity, you were unclean. And you were unclean for 7 days. She's been unclean for 12 years. She's in a class by herself. The doctors didn't know what to do with her. Sometimes we can have a problem that's a shameful problem. We don't want to tell anybody else about it because we're ashamed. Maybe it's an alcohol addiction, drug addiction. Hers was a shameful problem, and sometimes it's a shameful problem that we struggle with. Sometimes it's an isolating problem. Hers was an isolating problem because the Bible made it clear she was unclean. So you know what that meant? She couldn't go to the temple to worship. She's unclean. You can't come into God's house, into God's presence like that. You can't appear before the priests unclean. Wait until you're clean. Well, she's been waiting for 12 years. She's not clean. She couldn't have a relationship with her husband. The Bible makes it clear in Leviticus that you can't do that if you're having this issue of blood. She couldn't have a relationship with him. If she was married, she probably wasn't married anymore. Because back in those days, they would divorce their wives if they burned the toast. And so if you had this kind of disease for 12 years, hubby probably said, I'm out of here. So she is devoid of her husband, of marital love. She's isolated from the temple. Man, sometimes the problems we face are financial. Her problem ended up being financial. Scripture says in Mark 5:26, and she had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. Some of you are here today and you're broke. You're broke. As a matter of fact, you're beyond broke because you owe way more money than you can ever pay back. And you're just drowning in a sea of red. And the problem is just over your head and you don't know what you're going to do. But in her case, she was trying so hard to get well. She spent all her money. She was now broke. She had a financial problem. And then she had a seemingly hopeless problem. And sometimes our problems become like that to us. This is hopeless. I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get out of this bondage. I'm never going to get out of these chains. I am a glutton and I'm addicted to food and I've been big and heavy my whole life and I'm never going to get in shape. It's just hopeless for me. And you just give up. What's the use? Some are single and they don't want to be single and they've been single year after year after year after year. And Mrs. Wright doesn't seem to be out there. Mr. Wright is not out there. Miss OK, Mr. He's Breathing, they're just not there. And they throw up their hands. It's hopeless. My situation is hopeless. I'm addicted to drugs. I'm addicted to painkillers. I'm a closet alcoholic and I can't break free. It's hopeless for me. Can you relate to her situation? Don't you know she was feeling like that? You put yourself in her place. But we all have problems. See, that's the first discovery. Discovery number two, Jesus is able to conquer any problem. Jesus, the worst of problems, and her situation was so very bad, he's able to conquer that problem. And how long did it take Jesus to conquer her problem? Just like that. Immediately, he healed her. The scripture says in Luke 8:44, she came up behind him, touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage was stopped. She says in the book of Mark that she felt in her body that she was healed. Immediately, as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, you know, the Hebrew men would wear tassels on their robes, four tassels on the four corners of their robe. That's what she touched, a tassel off his robe. You know what's amazing about that? Jesus is in the huge crowd of people, and he's getting touched all over the place, but she touches him in a different way, and she receives healing and power from the God of miracles. And you say, boy, I wish the Lord would do a miracle in my life. God wants to do a miracle in your life. He's ready, willing, and able, but you have to do certain things that we see in this woman that she did to receive a miracle and the might and the power of God on your life. Number one, you have to push through the excuses. Don't you know she had a million excuses in her head? I mean, here's Jesus with Jairus. He's going to help Jairus. Well, Jairus was a big shot. He was a synagogue official. He gets named, he gets mentioned. People knew who Jairus was. Nobody knows who woman with the issue of blood is other than Miss Unclean. Well, that's Miss Unclean, get away from her. And so she could have said, well, I can't go and interrupt Jesus. He's with Jairus. And who am I? I'm just a nobody. And, you know, it's probably not going to work anyway. I mean, I've spent all my money on all these other doctors. They say he's the great physician, but that's what they said about those other physicians I went to. Probably tomorrow would be a better time to talk to Jesus about this. Maybe there won't be so many people around, and tomorrow I can come and bring my need to Jesus. Did you know that's the devil's favorite word, tomorrow? His favorite word to you and me, do it later, tomorrow, later, not now. God's favorite word is now, now, come now, God says, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? The Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. If you want a miracle, you get it now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Come now and get it. And you must push through the crowd. She had to push through the crowd. There's a huge crowd thronging Jesus, literally choking Jesus. He's just shoulder to shoulder with people. He's just moving through, inching through the crowd. Now, here's this woman. She's been losing blood for 12 years. She's weak and sick and emaciated, and she has to go up against that crowd to get to Jesus. And she's unclean. And Jesus is Rabbi Jesus. He's a holy one of God. And here she is unclean, and I have to fight through the crowd, me, Miss Unclean, to get to Jesus. And she did it. She mustered up all her strength, and she, obviously, to touch the hem of his garment, the tassel on his garment, she had to be down low on her hands and knees to get to Jesus. But she fought through the crowd. If you want God to do miraculous things in your life, if you want to tap into the power of God for your life, you got to push through the crowd, because the crowd will keep you from Jesus every time. See, people in school, middle school, high school, what does the crowd want to do in middle school and high school? Worship the Lord? Is that what the crowd wants to do? No. Crowd wants to party. Crowd wants to go out and get drunk. The crowd wants to go out and smoke pot. The crowd wants to go out and do drugs. The crowd wants to go out and get in trouble. That's what the crowd wants to do. Crowd wants to rebel. Where are most of the people in this world? Jesus said the two roads. He said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by that gate, the broad road, the broad gate. The crowd is on a broad road that leads to destruction, that leads to hell. And if you go with the crowd, you'll go to hell too. That's where the crowd is going. Majority of people aren't going to make it. And the reason why is because they follow the crowd. You know, we have a lot of people in our church and in every church, and they so want God to do something in their lives, but they're too afraid to take a step toward the Lord. They're too afraid of what people think. Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Are you afraid of what people think of you? Who cares what people think of you? What does he think? What does he think? She was unclean. It's amazing when you think about it. She's unclean, yet she pushed through the crowd. She pushed through all that excuse to touch him. He's the Holy One of the universe. And this unclean woman could touch him, and power went out that fast from Jesus to her. She was healed. You must push through the crowd and you must touch him with faith. Mark 5:28 in the Amplified says this, she kept saying to herself, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She kept saying that. She had heard of Jesus and she said, if I only touch his garments, that's all I need to do. He has power. I just need to get to him. What was the difference in her touch? It was a touch of faith. It's a touch of faith. See, when Jesus said, who touched me? Peter was like, why are you asking me who touched you? Who hasn't touched you? Everybody's touching you. What a crazy question, who touched me? And Jesus said, no, someone touched me. Someone touched me by faith because power went out of me. See, Jesus knows the difference between a casual touch and a touch of faith. You know why lots of people come to church and leave the same way they came? Because they touch Jesus with a casual touch. They sing songs with a casual touch. They follow along the sermon just casually. They never fight through the crowd. They never fight through the excuses. They never touch Jesus with a touch of faith, saying, Lord, here's my problem. Lord, I bear myself before you. Lord, do something mighty in my life. I believe you. See, faith is not believing God can do something great in your life. It's believing that God will do something great in your life. And that's why she says, if only I touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. She didn't say perhaps. She didn't say maybe. She didn't say, well, it's worth a shot. No, I shall be restored to health if I just touch the tassel of his garment, the hem of his garment. How do you reach out to the Lord? With just a casual touch? You have your problem and you don't want to let anybody know that you have a problem. Why? Because it's a shameful problem. Because it's an isolating problem. Because you've had it a long time. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to come down to the front and have somebody pray with you over it because of your rotten pride. So you come to church and you sing the songs and you look so good and you're dying inside. The Lord says, I have a miracle for you. If you'd get real, if you'd get honest, if you'd come to me in brokenness on your face like this woman and reach out and believe that I not only can I do it, but I will do it because I love you. I died for you on the cross. I rose again from the dead. There's nothing that I can't do. I'm the God of might and the God of miracle. I have not lost my recipe for manna. I still know how to do it. I still want to do it. And what I did in her life, I want to do in your life. If you'll reach out in faith and touch me. You know, Jesus said, who touched me? He was looking around. Who touched me? He wouldn't let it go. Why didn't he just let her slip out of the crowd? She was healed. He wouldn't do that. He kept looking around, according to Mark's gospel, until he found her and she realized that she hadn't escaped notice, Luke 8:47, and she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter," only person he's ever called daughter in Scripture, this woman, "daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Literally, your faith has saved you. You know why Jesus called her out? Because there was more he wanted to do in her life. Sometimes people receive things from the Lord, financial blessings or physical touches or other kinds of emotional things that the Lord does in their lives, but they don't let the Lord do the deeper things, the deepest things. They don't deal with the deepest need. The deepest need is to get your sins forgiven, to get his blood to cover your sin-stained heart. That's your deepest need. See, because if you live your life and you say, "Well, God healed me physically." Yeah, and you live to be 80, 90 years old and die without Christ, you'll go to hell for eternity. What good was the healing in your physical life if you weren't healed in your spiritual life? Have you been healed spiritually? Have you reached out in faith and touched the Lord, asked him to come in? Is it real? See, a lot of people, they don't know. "Well, I'm not sure about that." Hey, the greatest event in my whole life was the day I got down on my face before the Lord as a high school senior and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and he did. And my life began to change from that moment. There was a miracle that took place in me, the greatest miracle of all. I've seen God do miracles in and through my life. They don't compare to that time as a high school senior when the Lord came in my life. Has that happened in your life?
A great question. Has that happened in your life? Perhaps you're one who's not sure that you've reached out in faith and asked the Lord to come into your heart and perform his greatest miracle. Well, you can receive him right now as your Savior and Lord. If you'd like to do that, with a repentant heart, pray something like this. "Father in heaven, you sent Jesus to die for me, and right now I want to become your child. I want to receive the gift that you're offering me in Jesus Christ. Come into my heart, forgive my sin, and save me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I give everything I am to all that you are. I'm sorry for the way that I've been living, and I turn it now over to you in gratefulness for your dying on the cross for me. Please make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Now, if that was the prayer of your sincere heart, then you are now a child of God. That's a promise from God, and God never lies. We want to help you find assurance in that decision that you've made, and go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There you'll be able to understand your next steps in growing in your Christian walk and living the Christian life. There you'll find some free materials to help you get started on your journey, and we hope that you'll do that. Click the Why Jesus link at fromhisheart.org. And be sure to click the Contact Us link as well and let us know of your decision. That would be a great encouragement to us. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and thank you for listening today to From His Heart and the message, The God of Miracles, from Pastor Jeff's inspiring series, A New Lease on Life. And he'll be back tomorrow with the next lesson in this series, a lesson called A New Lease on Love. It'll change your life. That's on Friday, when we again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more go to fromhisheart.org.